Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Body Armor Sports Drink. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Welcome to Friday afternoon here on The Drive. Big Al and D-Mac. D-Mac's out. Chad Brown's going to sit in with me. And the big story of the day, of course, is the, you know, I think people have gotten it wrong today. I think the big story of the day is the Rockies cannot get it done against the Dodgers after having a lead late in the game. That was not what we were looking for. Five home runs off of our relievers. It's a issue, and it didn't end well. So the Rockies, game two against the Dodgers. This is a big series because we have seven games in a row at home against the Dodgers, and to see it, you know, go up in smokes like it did last night, that was tough. That was tough. I'm watching this game, And I'm really into, and I think everybody out there who is a Colorado Rocky fan is really into this team this year because we seem to have all of the variables lined up in place, and it just didn't happen. All the goodwill seems just to go out the window.
This is up the middle, but it's grabbed and second by Dozier, and the first double play, fourth they've turned tonight. That will end the ball game. A very disappointing night for the Rockies, given the fact that they took a 5-3 lead to the eighth inning, but could not close out L.A. as the Dodgers played ping pong with the seats. They hit five home runs against the Colorado bullpen, and they win game one of this four-game set. The final score, 8-5.
You blew it!
Big section, that's good. I tell you what, the emotion, the energy, and all of the excitement that Tyler Anderson had handing the ball over to Oberg must have just went out the window when you see the ball flying out the stands, Chad. I mean, is there anything more debilitating than having a lead, doing your job, and having your teammate disappoint you? Is there anything worse than that?
No. No, and I was trying to think of it when I heard you talking about, is there a football equivalent to this? That
we can I think the missed field goal. The missed field goal at the end of the game from the 15-yard line.
Yes, we put ourselves in a position to win this
did
ball
everything. Game. We did everything.
And now we're counting on one player, the kicker. We're counting on our bullpen, our guy to step in and keep this lead for us. And you blow it. And if this was the first time, or the second time, or the third time, or the fifth time, or maybe even the tenth time,
I mean,
this season,
Wade Davis was bad this time. But yeah. I mean, you're right. It's a train wreck. It's a train wreck, and I can't understand. You know, even O was bad last night. I mean, it was. You know, I mean, we were everything. You know, Iannetta came through for us big, man, with that big jack, man. I mean, that was so huge. Gave us a nice, comfortable two-run lead.
And I think Drew actually said on the broadcast yesterday that the Rockies have been outscored by like 71 or 72 runs in the seventh inning or later of the baseball game.
Is that the worst in Major League Baseball?
It has to be. I can't find that stat online, but that's what Drew said during the broadcast last night, and my mouth dropped.
Wow.
McSexy, when you saw that at the end of the game, how ugly it was, and it felt like we were, you know, pinch hitting. I know pinch hitting is big, and you do it for a reason, but when you make the right move, and certainly the Dodgers did last night, and Jock Peterson comes into the game and sends one out of the stadium, as a manager, that's got to feel good. That's got to feel good when you send your guys in there, or Max Muncy comes in and they deliver it for you. I mean, that's got to be like the most rewarding feeling in the world if you are the manager to know when they put this guy in, I'm going to pinch hit my guy, and my guy is going to send him yard.
It's got to be nice to have that kind of depth on your team.
It is. It is. And I'll tell you what, it was last night was frustrating, but let's hope that the Rocks can get it straight, man. I mean, last night was a real, real disappointment in our chase to win just the division. I mean, we've never won a divisional race with the Colorado Rockies. To me, that is saying a lot. That's saying a lot for a franchise that's been around for over 25 years. That's saying a lot. And we are right here on the doorsteps, and I just don't want to give it away. Our bullpen has been a disaster. We spent $100 million making sure our bullpen was straight in the offseason, and it's been a train wreck. And we have tried to make all of those important moves to shore up the bullpen, and it's for naught. It feels like we've gone in circles. I mean, I don't remember, you know, a problem as bad as this one in any of the team sports that I've been part of, where you say this is certainly a weakness and we can't stop it. We don't have an answer to it. So,
if you take away the bullpen and you just think about the Rockies, you got
the starting pitching has been great.
You got Nolan Arenado, like
three hits last night,
best season yet. Trevor Story doing fantastic. Cargo and Blackman, you know, not their best seasons, but playing really good baseball. Starting pitching, to your point, playing well. And you just cannot get past this bullpen that continues to let you down. If we were talking about a football team, we would say, whoa. You got Arenado and Trevor Story, Charlie Blackman, and Cargo. Well, that's almost a championship kind of window right there. You got all those guys under contract, at least for another
Don't even
years.
Talk about Iannetta coming through last night.
Right, but you still can't get it done because your pitching continues to let you down.
Listen to this, man. Tyler Anderson, six innings, one run, four hits allowed, and he lowered his career ERA at Coors Field to 3.39. Man, look, man, we got some young ballers over here, man. People that are getting it in. Now, Kyle Freeland is 3.23 at home, all Coloradan.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you got your young gunners out there doing their thing. Oh man, we gotta fix this, dude. We have to fix this. I mean, I don't even know what to do though. I'm so frustrated. I don't know what to do. I mean, I see the moves. I see the moves that have been made to try to make everything right. But what do you do? What do you do? Is there another you know what? I've seen it all from this team this year, especially this. You almost wait for the seventh inning just to see what's going on. Like, you know, everything's going smooth. Everything. It's got to be an overwhelming feeling for those players that are on the team to know that we're going into our trouble inning. And if you're a pitcher, a relief pitcher that's coming in for that moment, that's got to be like standing over like a 4-foot putt to win a championship in golf.
You missed it the last three tournaments.
Yes.
And that moment gets too big for you. The doubt creeps in. The lack of confidence for that bullpen pitcher coming in just infects the rest of the team. The rest of the guys out there. How could you be confident in that moment when you've seen it fail so many times?
Yeah, that was heartbreaking. That was really heartbreaking. And then, we move on to see the Dodgers again tonight and see if we can get this thing done. There was an interesting story in The Athletic, and it concerns Demaryius Thomas. And I have to get to this quickly because I think that this is what the Broncos management did purposely. When you go out and you draft Courtland Sutton in the second round, okay, and you know that he is a big-time player, you know that he is going to demand at least consideration to be in a starting lineup. When you hear Demaryius Thomas talk about how, you know, there's so much love being shown for Courtland Sutton, but really none shown for him, and, you know, I think the Broncos got it right. I just going through the article and seeing how DT says that he feels like he doesn't get any respect and all the things that he's done, you know, thrown out the window for these young guys who haven't done anything yet in the NFL. excuse me, it was on NFL.com. Doesn't that, and that was James Palmer from NFL.com, doesn't that send a signal to you that Demaryius Thomas feels threatened that, you know, put up or shut up this year?
Well, beyond just a quote about Courtland Sutton, he talked about, you know, his relationship with the fans and how that could get him off his game. And I know every athlete wants to be adored, and every athlete wants to be respected by the fans, and every athlete wants to be, you know, number one in the fans' heart. But at the same time, you need to realize it's impossible to be that guy all the time and make everyone happy. And if you allow that outside noise to mess you up, you're going to get messed up. You're going to be off your game. So when you're talking about, oh, the fans love Courtland Sutton more, I do get where DT is coming from. I do think to a certain degree he has been maybe disrespected is too strong of a word, but his contribution here as a Bronco is not given its due credit. Incredibly productive, incredibly consistent.
But who is he to this franchise? He's right not now? Rod Smith. He's not heart and soul.
No.
You know what I'm saying? He's not the – I mean, he may finish with the greatest numbers in Denver Broncos history, but do you look at him the same way the Steelers look at Hines Ward?
No, because
– I mean, he's not grimy like that. So
he talked about that in the article, you know, because he doesn't jump up and cheer and he doesn't do all that kind of stuff.
But you got to be an inspiration for your team, right?
Yes. To be a true leader, you need to be vocal. You need to be demonstrative. You need to get people to follow in behind you. DT is a quieter kind of guy. That's who he is as a person. And as a, you know, you've known me since 1987. I'm not some, you know, when I played, I was not some super talkative, other than talking trash kind of guy. I wasn't that leader right. kind of guy. I'm a quiet, shy person by nature. So I have an understanding where DT is coming from. It's hard to just sell the fans your numbers. They want to see passion. They want to see emotion. They want to see, you know, the love that Emmanuel Sanders has for the game that you can just see when you watch him, when he's healthy and he's playing well. That joy that he brings to the game is infectious. DT doesn't carry that kind of attitude to the game with him. The fans don't get that from him. They get production, they get consistency, they get a guy who, you know, fights through pain, a guy who fights through injuries. You get a guy who's a great pro, but to make yourself a legend, to make yourself a leader, to make yourself that Hines Ward, Rod Smith kind of guy, you've got to be far more demonstrative and far more in tune with the fans to be that kind of guy. DT's never going to be that guy. And it's unfortunate because he will walk away from this feeling
slighted.
Yeah. And the fans will walk away when his career is done. And they won't give him his due respect that his play deserves because he wasn't that guy.
Hey, man, I'm just looking at career receiving yards in Denver Broncos history. Rod Smith is number one at 11,389. Demaryius Thomas is number two with 8,653 yards. Shannon Sharp is number three at 8,439. Lionel Taylor is 6,872 and number four. But I'm going to give you somebody who is more well-respected in this community as a wide receiver than Demaryius Thomas without the numbers.
Ed McCaffrey
is number five.
Yeah.
I have been in that stadium. I don't know how many times I've been in that stadium when Ed McCaffrey catches the toughest pass and he gets up and the crowd goes nuts because they knew what the incredible courage that it took for Ed to make that catch or to make that block. The most memorable play that I have of Ed McCaffrey is in Super Bowl 32, and it wasn't even a catch. It was a block. It was a block to free Terrell Davis up down the left sideline. Those are the things that we remember about Ed McCaffrey. The toughness, the willingness to do anything, the unselfish play, the run blocking, all the things that make you a lovable character. Ed McCaffrey delivered. Rod Smith delivered. Heart and soul. Do you feel like Demaryius Thomas has been heart and soul around here in Denver?
No, he does not.
Do you think he's given his very, very, I mean, you know football.
Yeah.
I can talk to you about this. you know football,
mm-hmm.
and you know how tough it is to play football.
Right.
And you know that there are some moments in football that will define you.
Mm-hmm.
What is Demaryius Thomas' defining moment that you can remember, like that you say that was the play that said, you know, DT was it the touchdown with Tebow?
The touchdown with Tebow would have to be the biggest moment here.
But it almost feels like that was a sneaky good moment for the Broncos. Like, hey, who could have thought that one up?
But for each fan who would bring that moment up, there's going to be a fan on the opposite side who's going to talk about Demaryius Thomas drops. You know, one of the highest compliments you can pay to a football player, in my mind, and it's going to sound crazy, particularly where a football is going, but is this guy willing to die for this?
Mm.
I am not.
Break a leg. I always say, will you break a leg today?
Right. And I know people aren't really.
I don't
really,
like your statement. You told me I wasn't going to like it, but go ahead.
Yeah. You know, I'm not asking people to literally go out and die for this, but are you willing to put your face on the line to stop somebody from scoring when it's fourth and goal? Third and one, what do you do? You know, are you willing to go hit a linebacker to get the freeing block as Ed McCaffrey was to get Terrell Davis 10 more yards downfield? DT is actually a pretty good blocker.
He is.
Downfield, but he never had the crushing Rod Smith or the crushing Ed McCaffrey kind of blocks. So he gets it done, but the fact that we don't get the impression that you are willing to die for this, we take you down a peg or two as a player. Because our greatest players are not the guys who just coast by on ability. We love players who put their heart and their soul and their passion, and they show us their heart, soul, and passion. I think DT plays with heart and soul and passion. He doesn't always show it. It's not always clear.
Give me an example of somebody that's from this organization. See, because I can think of at least 10, 15 players right now where I can say heart and soul.
Oh, just, you know, if you go back to the 97, 98 teams, I mean, you can literally go up and down the roster. Steve Atwater, heart, soul,
right,
passion.
Right.
Tom Nayland, heart, soul, passion.
That was the first name that came up in my mind. Tommy Nayland.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, heart, passion, desire, and you know what? He wasn't a rah-rah guy, but boy, he played it up to a whistle. I mean, it was... I mean, that guy was, I mean, that Nasty Nayland.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy was something else. He was the first name that popped up into my head.
I battle with that dude all the time. Another guy I battle with on a personal level, Howard Griffin, fullback.
Right.
We were neighbors in the same neighborhood. I couldn't be friends with him because I know we're going to play each other twice a year. We're going to try to knock each other's blocks off. Our kids went to school together. Our wives were friends. Hey, man, we can't play video games. Come September, mm-hmm. and come October, we got a game we got to play. I can't be friendly with you, dude.
Maybe that is the biggest hang up with Demaryius Thomas, is that the passion and the...
If he played with more juice, with more passion, with
he's going to play with it this year, guaranteed. He's not playing, you know, and I think the Broncos, when they made their selections in this year's NFL draft, pretty much told you with Deshaun Hamilton and Cortland Sutton, hey, man, we're moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're moving on. I mean, have you seen Emmanuel? Emmanuel has always been a special player, and I call him a plus-plus receiver. He's not just a plus receiver. He's a plus-plus receiver. His attitude, his bravado, his willingness to do anything when the ball's in the air, to me, is unusual.
You're willing to die for it. I'm going to jump
up. I don't want to die for it, Chad. Golly, can you come up with something else?
That's just my same, you know, linebacker rooms. We use a very apocalyptic language in those
rooms.
You've been in those rooms, you know.
I know, but I'm like, come on, man. You're killing me right here, man. I mean, the fan base is going nuts. Nobody wants to die for football. But
you should be willing to die for it. You don't want to die, but you should be willing.
Oh, my goodness. No,
I love my brothers so much, I'm willing to die for this.
I want
to win this game so bad.
Break a leg. I'm like, are you willing to break a leg?
If I'm Emmanuel Sanders, I'm willing to leap into the air to catch this football, knowing two dudes are about to blast me. I'm willing to die for this,
and
bro.
Certainly we've seen Demaryius Thomas make those spectacular plays and catches and those in the biggest moments. But Emmanuel, when he does it, he gets up and he points first down. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can almost envision Emmanuel Sanders after making a big play, after getting crushed, standing up and pointing first down.
He brings us into
his mindset, and I think we love that. I think we love that as a fan base.
We do. We want to be entertained. So we want to be entertained by the plays.
Right,
we want to be
right.
playing.
That's a good word.
Junior Seau, how many times you seen him do this fist pump? Whether it's a 1 yard tackle for a loss or it's a 10 yard gain downfield, he was going to still give the fist pump.
That's true.
Was still going to entertain the crowd. That was something I didn't understand. So I'm in the same division as Junior Seau, trying and scraping and trying to make Pro Bowls playing the same position. And I realized I got no shot. This dude entertains the crowd. Even if it's a away crowd, he entertains the crowd. I don't have that in me. I was far more DT than I was Emmanuel. You were more Emmanuel than you were DT. You understood the entertainment part of it. You understood the energy with the fans. You understood all that aspect. My play was so inwardly focused. So I missed that connection with the fans, that ability to move the crowd in the way that you did, in the way that Emmanuel does. And I think when DT retires, he will look back and say, I wish I could have been more like that. It would have been more fun. It would have made the ride more fun. I was a great player, but I could have been a great entertainer and made the fans love me more.
Oh, somebody has corrected me. That was for Howard Griffith, where he popped that play for Ed McCaffrey. Thank you for the text, 303-713-1043.
You can call
us or text us on the RamosLaw.com text line. And that was either way. I don't care who was carrying the football or caught the football at that moment. I'm just telling you, it was a big time moment where it was not a catch. And I'm thinking about another big time receiver who doesn't talk a whole bunch, but just goes out and deliver, and we can appreciate. How about Julio Jones? I mean that guy is not a real rah-rah guy, right? He's a spirited guy, but I don't see him, you know, he's not trash-talking nobody. Most of the time I see Julio.
I love Julio Jones as a player, but you want to entertain me on a Sunday? Give me Antonio Brown. Not only is he going to be the best receiver on the field.
But I'm saying give me the quiet, unassuming is it Larry Fitzgerald?
I like that as well. Both of those guys.
But Antonio Brown's going to tell you he's going to beat you, he's going to beat you, and then he's going to dance.
How about some Doug Baldwin in our lives?
Doug Baldwin is the same way.
Yeah.
He's the same way. He's going to beat you, he's going to tell you he's going to beat you, and he's going to celebrate.
Yeah.
I'm talking about just the is it the celebration that I'm trying to figure out why DT knows that there is a lack of a real connection with the fan base around here. There has got to be what I'm trying to figure out why he's wondering about this. I said this 5 years ago. It was 5 years ago when I started this conversation about who would you rather have, Demaryius Thomas or Dez Bryant? And the reason I said I wanted Dez Bryant is because he plays with passion and when you play with passion, you bring and you elevate the rest of the team to your level. And it's not that he was faster than DT. It's not that he was quicker or that his catch range was bigger. None of those things. It was just, I love the way that he played the game. Now, when the Broncos brought back Demaryius Thomas this year, I was like, wow, that was big. But then I thought it was because they were trying to get Kirk Cousins. Now, he had an escalator in his clause that said that, you know, if the Broncos wanted to retain his services, they had to execute by a certain date. And that date was before they could ever go out and get Kirk Cousins. So I don't know if they knew they weren't going to get Kirk Cousins in this whole Kirk Cousins sweepstake, would they have kept Demaryius Thomas? I don't know. But I thought that was like a selling point because you have Emmanuel Sanders, you have Demaryius Thomas to throw the football to. That makes sense. But am I off here? How am I reading this? Anything different than the guy's been a really good football player for a really long time, but there's seriously some connection that is missing.
Yeah, we want the fans. We want to be connected to the player. We want to get a sense of who he is, who his passion for the game. DT never gave us that. He never opened himself up for that. And that's okay because, again, I was that guy too. But, again, looking back at my career, I wish I would have had more Alfred Williams in me in those circumstances than Chad Brown. Being quiet, being shy didn't take my career any further, didn't give me any more Pro Bowl votes, didn't get the fans more excited about what my team was doing or the play that I made. In fact, it didn't fire my teammates up. I made a play. It was great. My teammates were excited. But then I wasn't showing the same kind of joy.
Right.
And that simmered down too quick. We could have kept that momentum going. If I go to the sideline, I'm yelling and screaming like Big Al.
But, you know, what I've seen in my football past is that if, say that Trevor Price makes a play.
Right.
If Trevor Price makes a play, man, I got to make a play.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And if he's excited and he's got his dance going, you know, my Atanavasa is making, I got to make a play. I got to, you know, because I want to be part of this party. I want to be part of this party. There is pressure that is inherent right now with the Denver Broncos receiving room. And right now, the guy who probably feels the most pressure to have a big year this year is none other than Demaryius Thomas.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three, presented by Sam's Number 3 Diner and Bar.
Big Three at 3:30, and I'll lead it off, Chad. The NBA has released its schedule for games in 2018 and 2019. Of course, me and Big Sexy are excited about that. But while I was looking at the Nuggets schedule, I noticed something that was really different. The Lakers will have 43 games that will be on national television this game. 43 games that will be on national television this upcoming basketball season, including a Christmas Day showdown with the Golden State Warriors. I know there's a lot of people out there that don't like the fact that LeBron James gets up and moves and goes to different places, different teams when every 3 or 4 years, whatever it may be. But his star power is incredible. The NFL, I wish that they use their star players in the same ways, and all the games that the star players were in were big games. But 43 of them, more than half of the Lakers' games will be on national television. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
No, but we know that the NBA is a star-driven league. So when they came out with the schedule and then the broadcasters got a chance to choose games, you know, everyone was going for the LeBron James game. And beyond just how he moves broadcasters, look at whatever team the Lakers play on the road, the spike in attendance and the spike in ticket prices when LeBron James comes to town. So it's more than just the media trying to shove LeBron James down our throat with 43 nationally televised games. That's who the fans want to see. When I look at Nuggets games and I want to go to a Nuggets game, I'm looking to who are they playing? What star is going to be in town? How do I maximize my bang for my buck as a consumer? Golden State going to be in town? Okay, I'm in for that one. LeBron's going to be in town? Okay, you got me. Houston? Sure, I'm all about that one.
Okay, that's big news. You can fire your entire season ticket staff when LeBron James shows up for your team. That's how much of an impact this guy has on your organization, and your ratings will probably go through the roof because you want to see him grow and you want to see what's going to happen with that young nucleus of players with the Lakers. I cannot believe it. 43 games, nationally televised, LeBron James's Lakers. Bongos.
I feel confident because I'm the best player in the world.
Three!
Last night, Darius Geis, rookie running back for the Redskins, tore his ACL. will miss the entire season. And then we heard Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley get into it a little bit on Hard Knocks when discussing trainers trying to give players days off during training camp. And Todd Haley's comments were kind of couched in the, what are you afraid of? If you are an NFL head coach or an NFL general manager, do you go into the preseason with a fearful attitude, or do you go into it, you know what, things are just going to happen. We got to keep moving forward and keep preparing our guys to win football games in the regular season.
Well, I think if you are a head football coach, the first thing that you have to do is, you have to make sure you have the right players on your team. And the only way to know that you have the right players on your team is to put them in game action. There's no right or wrong way to go about this other than to give a true evaluation in a game situation. Now, I didn't have Darius Geis high on my draft board last year because he seemed like he was a stiff player. And look at this. First game, he tears an ACL. I mean, he doesn't have the fluidity that it takes to move and make guys miss and finish runs the way that he wants to. He just felt like he was trying to always bust through and make this, you know, this explosive play running over a guy while he was at LSU. It never felt right to me. I'm sorry that the kid tore his ACL in his first NFL pro game, but I would also say this league, it's not just about dishing out punishment, but it's also how you finish plays. And you have to learn how to finish plays the right way. That's a part of becoming a pro.
Bongos.
Three.
Oh, man. That was tough. That was tough. Seeing him go down last night was a reminder that nothing is a given in this business. And maybe that's why we should also be leery of that as we send our Denver Broncos out to play the Minnesota Vikings. And with that being said, I'm looking for some big matchups. I'll tell you who I'm looking for to come through against those Vikings.
Covering training camp 2018, presented by Body Armor Sports Drink. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Barbra Streisand.
Happy Friday, everybody. Big Al and D-Mac. D-Mac's enjoying his parents' 50th wedding anniversary. He's on his way, too. Barbra Streisand. Chad, you're on your way, too.
Long way to go. Long way
You're
to go.
You're 20 plus in, though.
Yeah.
20 plus in.
I'm almost halfway.
All right, man. Big matchups this weekend. I'm looking for our offensive line to create some holes for our running backs. And this is what I saw last night. And I saw Saquon Barkley on the first play from scrimmage against the who were they playing last night anyway? The Browns. Was it the Browns?
Yep.
Okay. The one and two players in the NFL draft went head-to-head last night on NFL TV, and it was great with the NFL channel. And I watched it. I absolutely watched all of it. And Baker Mayfield looked amazing.
He looked good.
But what I saw out of Saquon Barkley is what I want out of all running backs, okay? When there is a guy that is in a one-on-one situation, I want my running backs to win. I want my running backs to always win one-on-one situations. And not only did he beat a one-on-one situation, I think it in all reality, he made two guys miss it once, so I'm going to call that one. And then he made the safety who was coming down miss as well. That's what I'm looking for tonight. I'm looking for our offensive line to create some holes for our runners. And then our runners in this game, Chad, I'm looking for them to make at least one guy miss. I don't want to see a running back trying to pound it in there and create an extra 2 or 3 yards from contact. I'm looking for avoidance from our running back group.
Well, I think that should be standard. I mean, you can only block so many guys. At some point, there's going to be an unblocked defender, and your responsibility as a running back is to make that guy miss. Now, Saquon Barkley is obviously a special player. We knew that. And I don't want to make too much of that run just because it is the first week of the preseason for
of course
defenders. They haven't had much live tackling. They haven't fronted up somebody in a hole
don't
before.
Don't make excuses for tackling. Come on, man.
No, it's not an excuse.
Doing this your whole life.
No,
don't make excuses for that.
There's more missed tackles in week one in the preseason than there are in week two. The defenders get better because they don't get as much work as we used to get when we were in training camp. That's my point. Still a great run. Barkley still
a great run. You're taking away from a great run from the Rook.
No, I'm just pointing out the fact that more tackles are missed in the first preseason game.
Right,
that's
right,
all.
Right, right.
He's still a great player. He's still probably going to be Offensive Rookie of the Year. Hopefully some competition from Cortland Sutton for that. But as far as what you're saying, yes, our offensive line, I just want to see this first group work together and be efficient and be effective. Because if you can just start to eliminate the bad football from last year, you're instantly better off. You don't have to be superhuman. You don't have to be great. Just eliminate the bad football. Garrett Bowles, don't be the most penalized lineman in football again this year.
Okay, do you need to see anything from Jake Butt tonight? Or should I say tomorrow night?
Yes. I need to see that you can take what has been a impressive string of practice performances and now put that into action on the field, both in the run game and the pass game. Because if you end up being a one-trick pony, then we've had that here. And that's why they got rid of Julius Thomas, because you were unwilling to invest yourself into the run game.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to a lot of guys going out there and playing big tomorrow. But there's one guy that I want to see in real live action. And no, it's not Cortland Sutton. It's Tim Patrick. Now, Tim Patrick has had a wonderful camp. Now, if you don't know who Tim Patrick is, he's a receiver out of Utah. He's 6'5", 210, 215 pounds, and he has looked good. Now, he's got 1 year of NFL experience, and he's a guy that you can look forward to being around this team for a lot of years to come. Our receivers, by the way, have gotten huge over the course of one offseason. I mean, think about the guys that we added. Deshaun Hamilton is not small. And you look at it, Tim Patrick is 6'5". Cortland Sutton is 6'4". DT, of course, is 6'5". I mean, it is this receiving core. And Jake Butt is 6'6". When you look at this receiving core, at least for the Broncos, our red zone opportunities should give us a chance to jump ball against a lot of teams.
Yeah, these red zone opportunities, just because you can't pick your poison. You want to double team DT? Well, we got Cortland Sutherland. You want to double team Cortland Sutherland? Then there's somebody else. Tim Patrick's got some length as well. So that aspect is going to be, I think, beneficial down in the red zone. But looking, you know, it's the first preseason game, so I don't want to make too much of it.
But, I saw a lot of football last night. That was good. That was good. By the way, I was excited to watch football last night. I was not excited to watch last week when we saw the Hall of Fame game. I wasn't ready for football then. But I was ready last night, and football delivered for me.
Yeah, there was enough highlight plays of guys who we have heard of going out and making plays. And you know, in some ways the hype machine did not overhype Saquon Barkley. The hype machine did not overhype Baker Mayfield. He looked incredibly accurate.
He looked great last night.
Yeah, he really did. Tyrod Taylor looked like
great.
He had command of that team. So that's going to be an interesting thing as the season plays along. But a number of these players who what's this guy going to bring? They showed up last night. And then for the Broncos, you know, I have to think that trend is going to continue. The moment doesn't seem to be too big for Cortland Sutherland. You know, with Tim Patrick overcoming his injury, I don't think this moment's going to be too big for him.
I'm looking at this depth chart, and what's ridiculous to me is that we're going to have our number twos go in, and when the number twos go in, they're going to play a significant portion of the game. We're talking about maybe 60% of the game, Chad. I would say the starters are going to be responsible for 15% of the game. The second team will play 60% of the game, and the third team will play 25%.
That sounds about right. Yep.
You see, Shane Ray is sitting there, number two on our depth chart, on the second team. Are you telling me that Shane Ray is going to be asked to play 65% of the plays, and Bradley Chubb is only going to play 15%?
Well, we know Von Miller's coming out quickly. He might even get the two series.
I don't know if you need to play Vaughn. Why are you playing Vaughn? You don't need Vaughn right now. Don't play Vaughn. That's how you take care of this situation, because you don't need to play Vaughn. Why don't you just start Shane Ray and Bradley Chubb? And I don't want Vaughn to be involved until another couple of weeks.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, what for? What
now? See, you
for
know,
what? I mean, in today's NFL, knowing that he is one of the top five defensive players in the NFL every year since his third or fourth year, what else do you need to see from him?
I just need to see you go out, execute the defense.
Nah,
play
come
smart.
On. Don't be like that, coach. Don't be like that, coach. I'm trying to bring you in my Hugh Jackson type of moment. You don't need that, coach.
And I'm telling you that for me as a player, I used the preseason as a way to ramp up for the regular season. If I missed a preseason game, I felt like I was behind. Vaughn could be much more in your line of thinking. I'm not in that linebacker meeting room there, so I would have to hold back my true assessment.
If you're Vance Joseph, do you play Vaughn Miller?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Is Case Keenum playing?
That's different, man. He's got to get reps with he's got to get. You don't need Vaughn Miller to play. You don't need Chris Harris to play for that matter.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Okay. I see where you're going. I see where you're going. You old school football.
I am.
That's the way it's going to be.
Now, if the plan is for the starters to play two series, Vaughn's probably coming out after one. I just need you to get some game action. I just need you to hit somebody full speed. I need you to just to get that checked off the list here in week one. So we're not worried about that because week two, that's when we start game planning. And if you out there making your first tackles while we're starting to game plan and we're starting to do things defensively that require some mental, you know, stuff, I want you to check off the physical part of that here in week one. Make your tackle, take care of that, hit somebody hard, get off the field, cool. Because now in week two, we start game planning. In week three, that build up to that week three preseason game should be like a regular season game with a full game plan, not just about what we do, but what our opponent's going to do. So there's a progression through the preseason. Week four, yeah.
But
sit down, Vaughn Miller. You're not even dressing for this game.
Okay, so you need to see Vaughn Miller in week one. I don't.
Yep. Give me five, seven plays. I'm good.
I don't see what, you know, I mean, if the second team is going to do what they traditionally do in the NFL and play most of the game, 60, 65% of the plays, do you need to see Shane Ray for that period too?
No, I don't need to see Shane Ray for that. No. Give me 30.
You need 30% of the plays?
Or 30
plays?
30 plays.
Half the game.
Yeah, run with the ones, run with the twos. When Vaughn comes out, you pop in. Bradley Chubb may get an extra series because he's a rookie. He needs the experience. Yeah, we would have a very interesting coaching staff meeting.
Oh, you ain't kidding, boy.
You
and I would have a real interesting meeting because, first of all, you know, I don't want to get my $20 million commodity hurt in a preseason game and the first one at that.
Yep, I want to get them ready to play the regular season.
Let's limit that, and let's get everybody else up to speed.
Well,
let's see Yadam out there as a third cornerback a lot.
Yeah, we want to get the seconds, the twos and threes as much run as possible. And I know we're up on the break and we got football at four, but I want to, when we get back to the football at four, the differing philosophies of being fearful, guys, gonna be hurt.
Nobody's fearful, Chad. Nobody's fearful.
You don't even want the man to get on the field.
Why should he? He makes $20 million. We'll be back on the Fan.